Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the cause of disease when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for example. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft, and someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press, and Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. Now, you know it and I know it. Now, he said that back in 1880. And he said, there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print, and I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with. And others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. And if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon and sell his country and his race for his daily bread. Now, you know it and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings. We dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of these other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. That's a pretty powerful statement. And these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program, this New World Order. They're the men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers and Bushes and Bundys and Carnegies and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend it's time that we wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians, and let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order, this Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about disease. The surprising part about disease is that it is relatively simple. Relatively simple. Let me run over some of what we've seen already. Disease comes from two factoids or two factors, and that is either one, you're nutritionally deficient, that is, you're starving to death. Literally starving to death. You've got plenty of food in your stomach, and you're full. You just finished your Thanksgiving dinner, and God, it was just delicious, and you're so stuffed you can hardly get up from the table. But you're starving to death because the nutrients in the food weren't there. And boys and girls, you cannot get vitamin C out of something that doesn't contain any vitamin C. The soil outside is where our vitamins and minerals begin. And we have so perverted, polluted, and overused and misused our soil, that the vitamins and minerals, 92 of which now you need to live successfully, 92 of these vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and so on, that they're simply not in the food, or they're not in your food in the volume or quantities that you need for good health. And that's number one. That's the big cause. There's a second cause, a very important one, and that is you're being poisoned. And this is where constipation comes in. This is where the problem really exacerbates itself. Because even if you have enough nutrients in your body, your gut has to absorb those nutrients, and it absorbs them through your intestinal walls. And when your colon becomes impacted, it cannot absorb the nutrients through the bowel wall. So it just passes right on through you. And this is toxins. These toxins build up in your body. And your body has to have a place to put them, and your body has a way to deal with it. A tumor, in the final analysis, is a place where your body is depositing waste and has no other place to go. So it puts it out in your fat cells. It takes this fecal material, and there's really a good book here. I've got to pass this one on to you. It's called Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management. It's written by Bernard Jensen. And in the book, he has he does colonic irrigations. Here's what he's doing. And to clean your bowel. And Schultz is using herbs. Both of them are effective. But anyway, back here about page 140, 142, 3, 4, 5. He's got some pictures back here. I mean, these are really phenomenal pictures. Where the waste, the toxic material in this guy's body is coming out through his feet, through his ankles, through his toes. And these are just god-awful, ugly sores. Weeping, running sores. It can't come out his anus, so it has to come out his skin. Now, your skin is your body's largest elimination organ. And it eliminates a lot of toxins. When you get out and you sweat, you know, you get out and work hard and you sweat, that perspiration is carrying toxins out of your body. And so when you put on arid extra dry, you're holding the perspiration in. You're holding the toxins in. Oh, you smell real good. I'm not denying that. And when your body is exuding these toxins through your skin, you smell real bad. And so, you know, if you have somebody that has a body odor problem, you know, your perspiration doesn't smell bad when it's clean. It smells bad when it's dirty and filled with waste. Your bowel movement doesn't smell bad. It's when it's filled with toxins and waste that it smells bad. So the worse you smell, the more toxic you are. So your body has to deal with these toxins, and it does. You know, when God designed this thing over here, if you get constipated, listen, your body doesn't die because of constipation. Your body will eliminate those toxins. It'll store it. It'll take it and put it in your fat. It'll run it through your skin. It'll run it through your eyes, your ears, your nose. I mean, when you have a cold, boys and girls, you are exuding toxins from your body. It's coming out your nose. It's coming out your mouth. It's coming out of your lungs. You're getting rid of toxins. All right, now, what happens is then, you're either one, being starved, or two, you're being poisoned, or three, a combination of the two. So there's just two causes for this disease. If you've got a clean colon and you've got plenty of nutrients, boys and girls, you're not going to get sick. So in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, that's what God tells you. And in Exodus 15:26, he says, I won't lay any of these diseases upon you that I laid upon the Egyptians. All right, now, you got God working against you over here when you're in violation of the biblical law. That's the common law, the law of the commoners. Then you've just got the natural results, as we call it in law. You are the proximate cause of your own injury. All of these toxins went into your mouth. You put them in there. Now, it may be from time to time a guy's unconscious and in the hospital and somebody's hooked him up to an IV and he's not putting this stuff into his own body. But for most of us, we're doing it to ourselves. So in chapter 4, constipation, the shocking truth. How bad can it get? Here are some constipation record breakers. If you think you're constipated, listen to some of these stories. These are real. These stories ought to be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Listen to this. Back in the 1960s, there weren't fiberless fast food restaurants on every street corner, and life and work wasn't so sedate. Back then, a hard drive was a bumpy ride in a car, and not something most of us are typing data into as we sit on our ass all day long. My patients in the 1990s had reached a level of constipation that far exceeded anything that Dr. Christopher ever saw in his clinic or in his practice, and way beyond Arnold Ehret's wildest imagination. The average American stores from 6 to 10 pounds of fecal waste in their colons, which is not healthy. Let me underline that. That's 6 to 10 pounds. And that's the average Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife. You're just walking around right now with 6 to 10 pounds of that fecal matter plugging up your colon right now. As far as the record-breaking accumulation of fecal matter, I had one man in Hawaii who got his dosage up to 46 capsules of my intestinal formula number 1, which is a record in itself, before his bowels moved. Then that night, sitting on the toilet, he evacuated 56 pounds of fecal matter. I met his wife, and she said to me that she always knew her husband was full of... Her words, not mine. But she was right. And I had one lady, after doing my 5-day bowel detox for a year, lose over 200 pounds. She went from 410 pounds down to 180. So how bad can it get? Now, these are exceptions. You know, the average guy, you know, doesn't have this kind of a problem, you know, but they're talking more and more about surgery to solve your obesity problem. Hey, boys and girls, what you need is a good physic. And that's what the bottom line is. Now, here's one more little factoid here for you. When you're hungry, it isn't because your stomach is empty that you're hungry. Your hunger is triggered by the minerals in your stomach. Now, if you want to test this, then go ahead. Listen to this. Watch this. Let's suppose that you're hungry for a banana. You know, once in a while you get hungry for something. You're walking down the supermarket aisle and you see those bananas and you say, God, I'm just really hungry for a banana. So you buy a bunch of bananas. You take them home and you peel her down and you chop them up and you put them in the bowl and put some cream and sugar on it and eat this banana. Really tasty. All right. Generally speaking, one banana is pretty satisfying, but let's suppose that it isn't. Maybe you want to have a second one. Maybe you put a banana on your cereal or something. You know, I do that once in a while, and boy, that's pretty tasty. Okay. Now, did you ever notice that when you eat a banana or you eat two bananas, you say, oh, I don't want another banana? And that's exactly right. And that's because bananas are so high in potassium. The potassium goes down in your stomach and it says, oh my God, don't send another one of those down here. I'm already overloaded. I don't want another one. It satisfies your hunger. Well, at least it satisfies your hunger for bananas. So when you're constantly snacking, you know, you're taking those potato chips out. Now, potato chips are pretty tasty. They've got about as much nutrition, you know, as straw, but, you know, they taste real good, and especially with a beer. You know, you're sitting there watching the telly, and you're drinking a beer, and you're eating potato chips. You know, that's pretty tasty. But see, there's no nutrition in this, and so you get through with the potato chips, and you say, God, I'm still hungry. Well, of course you're still hungry. You didn't have any potassium. You didn't have any vitamin C. There wasn't anything in it. I mean, this stuff is so cooked and processed, there's no food value in it. Tastes good. I don't deny that. Hell, Krispy Kreme, you know. I always said, you know, if God made anything better than a Krispy Kreme, he kept it for himself. But just because it tastes good doesn't mean that it's good for you. You know, I'm not telling you you shouldn't eat a bag of potato chips once in a while, but, you know, many of you people live on potato chips and beer. And then you wonder why you get migraine headaches and why you've got bad health. You don't have any nutrients. Or why you're fat. You're fat because you're starving to death. You're not getting the nutrients that you have to have. And Why? It's because you're plugged up. You're constipated. Now listen to these records over here. How bad can this constipation get? Or put another way, what is constipation anyway? You know, I never knew I was constipated. I never thought anything about it. You know, you go to the bathroom, you know, once or twice a week. You know, that's plenty good enough, isn't it? Well, listen, 30 years ago when I first heard of Dr. Christopher speak about extreme constipation, I thought he was lying. I wanted to believe him, but when he told me that he had patients that hadn't had a bowel movement for a month, I thought he was telling me a natural healing fish story. But in the first year of my running my own clinic in Hollywood, California, I had a fashion model come to see me, a beautiful young woman, slim, 5'8", 115 pounds or so. She only had one bowel movement a month, and for the past year and a half. And I was shocked, and I couldn't help but ask, well, where did it go? And I was ready to call Dr. Copperfield or Siegfried and Roy. This was real magic. Well, that year I had many patients that not only had one bowel movement a month, and for a few years in the clinic that was a record until a woman came to see me. She was a 38-year-old attorney that only went every other month. She only had six bowel movements in a year. And she held the record for a while, but then there was a young woman from Santa Rosa, California. She only had three bowel movements during her last pregnancy. That's one bowel movement per trimester, and only two others that year. Now, the record holder was only five bowel movements in a year. That held the record for some time. But 3 years ago, I got a letter from a lady in Southern California thanking me, for my intestinal formula number one. And in the letter, she told me that before using my herbal formula, she was only having one bowel movement every 6 months. Now, that is only two bowel movements a year. She's the current record holder. Now, sure, the above are extreme cases, but most of my patients suffered from some sort of constipation. I had well over 1,000 patients that were lucky if they had a bowel movement once a week. Now, people who are constipated live in discomfort, fear, and shame, and they usually don't go around talking about it to their friends, and they don't know where to turn. Now, everything has failed them. The empty promises of their medical doctors, their toxic mineral oil, the wimpy herbal laxatives that wouldn't even make you fart. And then the natural healers with their bran, you know, give me a break. They pay the money, and they could fill a bus with the bottles of drugs and herbs that they've all taken, but they still couldn't poop until they met me. Now, this guy is a pretty plain-talking guy. And I know the average Joe Sixpack over here, he doesn't want to talk about his intestinal parasites. You don't want to talk about, you know, when you're at the office or you're out on the job, you know, you're eating lunch, you know, with the boys. And you don't want to sit there and say, well, you know, I had a bowel movement yesterday and you should have seen all the parasites in the toilet bowl. I mean, that isn't exactly lunchtime conversation, you know. So, you know, these are things that people don't want to talk about. It's kind of like talking about sex in church, you know, or you know, you want to talk about dirty jokes, you know, at the dinner table. There's a place for dirty jokes, and there's a place for dinner time conversation. There's a place for serious constipation, and this is the serious constipation story. Now, you think about this, you know, there are people that have bowel movements once a month. Now, so, of course, the question arises, well, what's normal? Now, what were you designed for? I mean, we haven't had an opportunity to talk to Adam and Eve to get back to the beginning and find out, well, what's normal? And, of course, we live where we live. You know, if you're living in the city and you eat at McDonald's, well, that's your lifestyle. That's where you eat at McDonald's. And then, of course, there's repercussions that come from that. You know, we all make choices in life. I know I make my choices. I go into the Krispy Kreme and I have some Krispy Kremes and donuts and coffee. And then, of course, there's you can do that once in a while and you can get away with it. But, you know, you keep doing that and doing that and doing that, and pretty soon you overdose on it, and pretty soon then you're constipated. And that's what this fiber is all about. See, fiber in your diet is what makes you go to the bathroom. That's the bottom line. Fiber in your diet. So we go to the grade B movies, you know, and here's John Wayne. He comes into the bar. Now these movie stars, you know, in the movies, they live on whiskey and meat. That's all they ever eat. They eat meat and they drink whiskey. And other than that, that's their whole diet. Now, boys and girls, if you eat meat and drink whiskey, you're not going to live long. And you're going to be very painfully aware of every day of your life, if that's your lifestyle. And people live like that today. George Bush, you know, he doesn't like broccoli. Well, broccoli isn't the only source of fiber, you know. There's all kinds of neat ways to get fiber. This is why the old adage says an apple a day keeps the doctor away. It's because the apple's full of fiber. The fiber keeps you regular. It keeps you from being constipated. That's the truth. But nobody ever told you why. Why does an apple a day keep the doctor away? Because it's a physic. It's a natural physic. And it keeps your colon clean and open. That's all. And so whether it's apples or pears or pineapples or it's potato skins or broccoli or carrots, whatever it is, you have to have some bulk, as some people call it. This is why you start dinner with a salad, because it's got fiber in it. And of course, when you go to McDonald's, you pull up to the window, hey, give me a couple of grease burgers, and we'll wash it down here with a milkshake, which has got pasteurized milk, no enzymes to digest it. So you can't digest the milk. You become lactose intolerant. You get migraine headaches. You're constipated. And then you can't very well talk about constipation or intestinal parasites, you know, with the average guy. And so you live your life with this fear and shame. God, I don't know how often I should go. All right, now listen up, and we'll tell you. And so what in the heck is a normal bowel movement anyway? Normal frequency. Now, I've literally traveled around the world in search of what a normal bowel movement and bowel habit should be. Now, how many people can say that? You know, I've traveled from the remote jungles of Central America to India, China, almost everywhere to discover what is normal, because I knew I wasn't going to find normal in New York City or Los Angeles, California. I probably couldn't even find it in Iowa. I wanted to see primitive people living in rural, non-industrialized settings, living simple rural lives under very little stress, getting moderate amounts of exercise, and eating simple, natural diets of locally foraged food. These relaxed primitive people all seem to have one bowel movement within 20 to 30 minutes after each major meal that they ate. Okay? What? I mean, here's the average Joe. He's going to the bathroom once a week. Now, when we get out here in the jungle and we take a look at natural setting people, you know, the indigenous people, the third world backward people, you know, these people are having a bowel movement within 30 minutes after they have a meal, a major meal. There's a reason for that. They just squat, it rapidly comes out within 1 minute, and they're done. No library of magazines, no squeezing, straining, grunting, no meditation or prayer. It just came out effortlessly. And they seem to average between 2 and 4 bowel movements a day. That's 14 to 28 bowel movements a week. Now, compared to the average American's bowel habit of 1 bowel movement every 3 to 5 days, or 2 to 3 bowel movements a week, I figure this puts the average American about 70,000 bowel movements short in their lifetime. 70,000 bowel movements short. All right, now you stick that potato up the exhaust pipe of your car and then watch how it runs. And now just plug up your anus over here and try that one out and see how your body runs. And people are complaining. Now remember, you got 450 diseases. You've got things like migraine headaches, psoriasis. You've got degenerative diseases, you know, serious things, you know, like cancer and heart attack and stroke and rheumatism, one thing and another. You know what all these diseases have in common? The people are constipated. Now this guy says it's 80%. Jensen and Walker say it's 100%. Hulda Clark said that she had never seen cancer in a patient that didn't have intestinal parasites. When you're constipated, you can guarantee, I'll guarantee you, you've got intestinal parasites. And these intestinal parasites don't cause cancer. But the fecal material from the intestinal parasites is highly toxic. And that toxic condition can't get out of your body. You're not having a bowel movement, you know, once a day. Now, you know, for an American, I mean, if you went to the bathroom once a day, you know, you'd be in top physical condition. People that are out in the jungle eating fruits and vegetables, or vegetarians, you know, like the Hunza people, they're not all 100% vegetarians, but they're primarily. I mean, these people go to the bathroom nearly after every meal. That's 2 to 4 times a day. Now, you know, if you talk to the average executive, you know, working at IBM, said, hey, you should have 4 bowel movements a day, the guy would look at you like you're a nut. That's crazy. That's insane. He'd probably tell you that. Now, I don't write this stuff, you know. I'm a reporter. I go out here and I report on all kinds of crazy things like intestinal parasites. But, you know, I get calls, people will call the law school, and they'll ask, you know, about this program or that program, or where can they get that book or this book or something like that. Many times people are just absolutely shocked. I was shocked when I read this. I thought, 2 to 4 times. Listen, I go to the bathroom about once a day, so now I've revealed my secrets, my innermost secret to you. I thought that's pretty good. This guy says, if you're going to the bathroom once a day, you're constipated. How do you like that? Now, I don't have any symptoms. I'm not complaining about any of those 450 symptoms. I'm old. I'm slow. You know, I'm not as energetic. I don't have the body energy that I had when I was 30. I suppose that's part of natural aging. I don't know that, but I'm assuming that. But I can still go out and do a day's work. You know, when I get through this radio program, I'm going to go up and have breakfast and go outside and go to work. You know, I sit here in the morning and do these radio programs. I'm just kind of playing, having a good time. And then there's the real work in life. I got to go outside and work up a sweat, you know. I've got fence posts to put in the ground. I've got rocks to pick up. I've got things to put away. I've got cows to milk. You know, sometimes you got some real strenuous work that you got to get out there and do. And that's what I call work. So a normal bowel movement should be about 2 to 4 times a day. That's normal. That's optimal. Now, you know, if you don't have 2 to 4 a day, that's fine. If you had one a day, that'd be 365 a year. That'd probably suffice. It does for me, so I'm not complaining. I can get by without these 450 diseases. I can even eat a few Krispy Kremes. I can drink a little coffee once in a while. You know, I can down a beer occasionally. But it's got to be in moderation, kids. I mean, you know, the habits that we get into, you know, like beer and pretzels, you know, every night, that isn't going to hack it. And that's because these pretzels and potato chips are starches, number one, but number two, they have a fiber in them. And you keep loading up on all this fiberless food. And then you sit down, you have a salad, you know, once or twice a week, and say, gosh, I'm really treating my body great. I ate a salad this week. Now, kids, you got to eat a whole lot more fiber, and that means you got to change your dietary habits, and that's what's going to eliminate most of you right there. But then my job isn't to get you to believe or get you to change or to get you to do anything. I'm a reporter. I'm just here to tell you, here's what the cause and effect relationship is. Now, you're an adult. You got a brain, and you can decide for yourself what's good for you. And if you think McDonald's is good for you, get after it. Don't let me get in your way. But when you go to the bathroom once a month or once a week, and you've got migraine headaches like a lot of these people complain about, and they wonder, well, what's wrong with me? Why is it that way? Well, I'm telling you. Now you know. All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure. business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order one, just call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, that'll satisfy the FCC and all of the governmental people involved here. I know yesterday I cited to you a story here about gallbladder, and then I didn't give the author credit. Let me do that today. It's www.newstarget.com. Many of these articles and essays come from the Internet. And oftentimes people will call here asking for information. They want to know, well, where's that book or where's that article? Where's that this, that, and another thing? Well, I try to give that as I go along here on the air, give credit where credit's due. I'm really pretty dumb. I don't know very much. And so I rely upon the Internet and people, two or three witnesses over here, you know, that can put a story together. And then when I get two or three people that agree on something, I say, well, that's probably pretty accurate. Anyway, this www.newstarget.com is the source of that article on the gallbladder. And you remember now, I'm just giving you a little bird's eye view here, two or three paragraphs. It's a three-page article is what it is. So if you want to get all the dope or the skinny there on gallbladder surgery, you know, I go to that webpage. Now, a guy called yesterday, and then I'm getting more and more of them from shortwave. A lot of people with shortwave, they don't have internet service. And so they say, well, I listened to two of your programs, but you had a series of programs, and I didn't get them all. What station can I listen to? Well, let me explain this to you. See, I put these programs out, and they go down to my producer in Austin, Texas. He puts them up on the Internet, and they're taken down off the Internet by radio stations all around the world. And they like it, and they play it, and it's a filler to them. You see, if you're a radio station operator, you got to have something to fill up the airwaves 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you're playing music, you got to pay ASCAP for every song you play, and it's a lot of bookkeeping, a lot of paperwork. And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, when you got to fill the airwaves with something, here's this program called The Law Hour, and he can download it and play it free. You know, so what's he want to do? Play music, or does he want to download this radical that doesn't cost him anything and that nobody's going to listen to anyway? And so he plays it, and then you listen to it, and maybe he plays it once or twice or three times a week. And many of these programs come in series of seven. Not always, but sometimes they do. Most. And so you're listening away, and you're listening to this story, and you say, God, I can't wait until tomorrow. And then the next day, he's playing music, and there's something else on there. Well, this guy called me, and he says, well, I listen to shortwave. Well, the shortwave station out in Oregon plays our program 3 days a week, 2 or 3 days a week. So obviously, you cannot hear the whole series. Now, the guy says, well, what do I do? Well, go to your computer. He says, well, I don't have a computer. Well, boys and girls, there's so many computers now out there in the world. Surely, you must know one other person in your circle of friends that has a computer and that maybe is online. Okay, that's all you need. You go to your friend and you say, hey, type in georgegordon.org. And you write that down, just georgegordon.org. And if they do, they'll come up on our webpage. And then you go over here to the archives. And you know, I don't know how you do this, but the guy that you're going to that has this computer, see, I'm just a computer illiterate like all the rest of you, but I'm just telling you. So that save you a phone call and save me answering and telling you the same story I'm just going to tell you right now, that your friend will come up on this website and in our archives, and then you can scroll down and you can see the titles of all these programs. Now there's 2,500 of these programs that are archived. So, and they cover all kinds of subjects. You know, I talked about worms, and you say, worms, what's that of it? It's about intestinal parasites. I did a 7-part program. Well, if you looked at intestinal parasites, and then he can download those programs, and he can copy them on an MP3 file. I'm not quite sure what that means, but it means that there's a little disc. See, I'm sitting here with a machine, and I've got these little discs, and I stick them in the machine. Well, you can copy those discs. It's like making a phonograph record. It's like making a tape, you know. And then you go down to Walmart, and you can buy a CD player for about, I don't know, $20-$30, about like buying a radio. And then you can play those programs. So if you got a friend, you got a son or daughter, you know, somebody that lives in the big city or something like that, it doesn't cost anything. It's free. It's free service in the public interest. And the discs, I don't know, they cost you 50 or 75 cents a piece. And if you live in a big city, you can download one of these programs in about 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, you know, you don't have to sit here for a whole hour like you do with an old tape, you know, and you got to sit here and copy it for 60 minutes. No, you can download these programs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 just, you know, in a few minutes. So it's not all that big a deal. So that just for you people, you know, listening on shortwave or something like that, and you don't have a computer, you can get these programs. Now, I don't make them and I don't sell them. I put them out. They're out there free. It's information in the public interest. And you can download them. Doesn't cost you anything. And then you're free to do that. Sometimes people call and say, well, how much is that? You know, what's it going to cost me to subscribe? It didn't cost anything. That's why I got off of Genesis. You know, Genesis was selling our programs. And I said, to hell with this. You know, this is a public service in the public interest. It's information that Joe Sixpack needs to know or ought to know. Somebody ought to tell him, so I'm going to tell him. All right, now, that's what a normal bowel movement regimen is. It's 2 to 4 times a day. Now, for Americans, that just blows us away. I mean, that's as crazy as having a bowel movement once a month. I mean, you got these two extremes, you know. You got once a day and you got once a month. All right, now, normal consistency. What should this thing consist of? Well, that's getting kind of personal, isn't it? The consistency of your bowel movement should be soft and uniform, like peanut butter or soft-serve frozen ice cream. Occasionally, they can be a bit chunky depending on what you ate and how well you chewed it. But in any case, they should not be formed and they should be light in color. I remember as a kid, my dad only went to the bathroom once a week on Sundays. He would take the entire Sunday paper into the bathroom. He'd be in there for hours. And when he came out, the room smelled like somebody had died. I would then take my place at the throne after him and squeeze hard for my once-a-week bowel movement. Eventually, I would blast out some small black balls as hard as granite. My dad would come into the bathroom to wipe me, but my fecal matter was so dry and hard there was nothing on the toilet paper. And I remember my dad remarking, "Now that's a good poop, no wiping, like it's wrapped in cellophane." And I would leave for a week thinking I did a good job. Now that's pretty normal. I can remember as a kid, that just about describes my dad. That just about describes our lifestyle. This is hell when I was a kid 40 years ago, 50 years ago, hell, 60 now. So, you know, if this is embarrassing to you, well, it ought to be. Not because we're talking about constipation, but because you only go once a week. Now listen, let's see if we can't fix that. And notice that it smelled like somebody had died. Listen, when you've got all of that toxin stored up in you for a week, then when it comes out, it ought to smell bad. I mean, you know, it's been in there for a long time. It's kind of like a dead dog alongside the road. After about 3 days, they start to smell bad as they're rotting and putrefying. You know, things that are rotten smell bad. Boys and girls, once a week is pretty rotten. Now, here's some signs of constipation. If you need a library in your bathroom, you know, like a stack of magazines on the hamper, then you're constipated. If you drink coffee, well, if you stop, you will also probably stop having bowel movements, too. So, you know, if you stop drinking coffee, you'll probably stop having bowel movements because it's probably the only water that you're taking into your body. Most people don't drink water. They just drink juices and coffee and things that come out of bottles. Kids, you need to be drinking, you know, a couple of quarts of water every day. I talked about that in a water program here not too long back. Now, here's a 5-foot-long fecal impaction. Now, can you believe that your colon is impacted with fecal impaction 5 feet long, removed with Dr. Schultz's 5-day bowel detox? And he's got a picture in here of a 5-foot fecal impactation in a bathtub. And when this guy passed this thing 5 feet long, he thought his guts were coming out. If I had one like that, I'd think my guts were coming out. If I had 56 pounds in the toilet bowl, I'd think that my guts had come out too. This impaction had been in the patient for many years. Fiberless food sludge that is mostly animal food and refined flour enters your colon. Because of constipation and infrequent bowel movements, it is not completely eliminated, and it builds up on your lining. The remainder of it plasters onto the inside wall of your colon. That's why in this picture the fecal casing took on the shape of the inside of this patient's bowel, including the colon's folds and herniated diverticulum. And so in the picture here, it looks like a colon. I mean, it looks like your gut. It's not. It's the inside that it came loose. And when it came loose, it all came out. And it came out in one great big long 5-foot string. So they fished it out of the toilet and they stuck it in the bathtub. And then they took a picture of it. And this Dr. Jensen over here in his book, called Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management, he's got pictures of the very same things. In fact, it's on page 149. It's the most god-awful thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, you talk about intestinal parasites and worms. You wait until you see these colonics and how they have removed this old, dead fecal matter. And he's holding it here in his hand. He's got a long string strung up here. And he's got a rubber glove on. I mean, it won't totally freak out, but I mean, there's pages and pages and pages of this. And then he's got pictures in here of people who are eliminating through their skin. I mean, you know, if you've got psoriasis, it's caused by constipation. That book, again, is called Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management by Dr. Bernard Jensen. I think you can still get these. This is published back in the 70s. I mean, this is an old book. Pages have even fallen out of it. When was it published? All rights reserved. I can't see a date on here, but 1981. Copyright 1981 by Dr. Bernard Jensen. Now, if you don't, you're not going to have that right away. You got to go through this detox program for about, I don't know, maybe a month, 2 months, 3 months. But over time, with herbs and colonic irrigations, you can loosen that fecal matter up that weighs about 6 to 10 pounds, which is plastered on the inside of your colon right now. Boys and girls, if you're an American, you've got this plastered on the inside of your colon. Now, because it's plastered on there, nutrients cannot get through it. It's about the consistency of a rubber tire. I mean, it is hard. Hard. There's no nutrients going through that. The nutrients come right down the center of it. There's an open hole in the center, and that's where your bowel movement is coming through. Now, if that isn't a shocker, I don't know what is. I guess it's like having an intestinal parasite in your toilet bowl. Now, the 5-foot-long fecal impactation. This impactation had been in the patient for many years. Fiberless food sludge that is mostly animal food and refined flour enters your colon. Here, this is the typical cowboy diet. Meat and whiskey. Or in our case over here, it's a McDonald's and a milkshake. This process can literally go on for decades, just like an old street water pipe. Or an old steel water pipe that gathers corrosion over many years and its inside diameter shrinks. So constipation is a progressively degenerating disease where eventually you have total blockage of the colon or colon disease after causing cancer and death. Now, I often have seen this type of fecal mucoid casing come out of many of the chronically constipated patients in my clinic, but usually not after their first bowel detoxification. Often, like with this man, it took 4 or 5 times. This man is fine and healthy now, and his lower abdomen that was distended for years is now flat. So, you know that beer belly that a lot of guys have? Well, you know, some of it's fat. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you can feel the fat there, but much of that is impacted fecal material that you're carrying in your colon. And they've got some pictures over here of some cadaver colons. I mean, they've cut these out of people. And they're as big around as my arm. I mean, their colon, which should be about the size of my thumb, is as big as my arm because it's impacted. Now, see, as this thing is impacted, it gets bigger and bigger and it swells. And so naturally, then you've got a lot of fat on you because there's got to be a place for the toxins to go. So your body manufactures fat to place the toxins in the fat and hang it on your body so you're carrying it around. And then your colon gets bigger and bigger and bigger because as this sludge builds up, there's got to be this little hole in the middle for the feces that is coming out to come out, and it keeps building up. All those Krispy Kremes, all of those McDonald's burgers, all that fat that you're eating, it just keeps building up and building up. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, there's a limit to how big it can get, and then oftentimes it just closes up totally. And then, of course, you got to have surgery. And then, of course, the doctor, he comes along and says, well, what we need to do is cut it out. So we just cut your colon out, and we'll just stick a bag on the side of you. Now, that will eliminate constipation. It's kind of like that lady I told you about, you know, that wanted to eliminate breast cancer, so she had a radical mastectomy, and she cut them off. And she was right. She never had breast cancer. And if you cut your colon out, you'll never have colon cancer. And you can live without your colon, as is demonstrated by, I guess, millions of people now. Are carrying little bags around on their bodies, which is why I mentioned to you earlier, no, that's permanent now, that's forever. So you might want to think of an alternative. You might want to take a little extra time, you know, before you get flipped now, and say, I'll just have it cut out, you know, I'll just go have surgery. You know, think about that long and hard, because that's permanent. And you can cure this. I mean, you know, it isn't that there is no cure for constipation. Constipation is curable. And then you don't have to give up the lifestyle totally. You just have to give up most of it. And that's because, boys and girls, your body just ain't made for that many Krispy Kremes. And if you want to stick them in there, well, go ahead. But you'll plug her up again. I mean, that's why you're plugged up to start with. Now, there's parasites come into this game also. Now, he said he estimated that this guy here had 10 to 15 years of backed up fecal sludge. And then there's parasites that go along with this. Looking under a microscope, anyone can see parasites in animal food. 1 cubic inch of grade A beef often has over 1,000 parasite larvae in it. Fish is the worst. Some of their parasites are as big as earthworms. There are even many parasites that live on fruits and vegetables. But if a person has 2 or 3 bowel movements a day, these parasite larvae never hatch, and you're just fine. And if you're like me and eat lots of garlic, no self-respecting parasite's going to take up house in your colon anyway. So if you're having a bowel movement once a day, and you're eating a little garlic from time to time, I say a little garlic, how much is a little? Well, you can take garlic in the form of capsules. That's if you don't like to eat it. Now, these capsules aren't as good. And that's because all natural foods have enzymes. These enzymes are very important to digestion and food assimilation. But leaving that aside, you know, you can buy garlic tablets. They're not tablets. They come in capsules. So a little fine granulated charcoal in the capsule. Now, or you can just, you can eat, and it's better if you chew this garlic up. You ever notice people that eat garlic? God, they have bad breath. Oh, talk about bad breath now, you know. Bessie Baumwortel never had worse breath than some guy that's eating garlic. I had a student here one time, guy eating garlic, how you could smell him clear across the room. Healthy guy. And that's because garlic is a natural antibiotic, like penicillin. You know, before somebody invented penicillin, God had already invented garlic, and people that eat garlic don't get pneumonia, they don't get sick. So, you know, eat a clove of garlic a day. Now, I know that sounds kind of bad, you know, and you'll have bad breath, I don't deny it. So you can get around that by taking the garlic capsules. They're not as good. Maybe I have to take 2 or 3 of them. I don't know how many, but... Now, if you don't have regular bowel movements, and you only go a few times a week, these parasite larvae hatch, then they hook onto your colon, and then they start feeding on your backed-up waste, and they even feed on your tissue. And in my clinic, I had every patient do my 5-day bowel detox, which is a real parasite flush. After doing it, they would bring in bottles, jugs, and pails full of worms, some of them quarts of little worms, many the size of snakes. One of my patients actually went to the hospital after doing my bowel detoxification program because of colon pain. Later, the hospital called me to report that she had passed a 35-foot tapeworm. 35-foot tapeworm. Now, that's kind of a record. Now, I've heard of a lot of them that run 10, 12, 14 feet. And I'm just a crummy reporter. And I've read and seen and heard and saw the pictures of tapeworms, you know, 10, 12 feet long. Now, here's one. This is a record breaker. It's 35-foot long tapeworm. Now, these tapeworms are living in constipated people. People that have bowel movements, you know, 2 or 3 times a day. They don't have intestinal parasites because the parasites can never develop in their intestines. Now, how do you like that? Hulda Clark said she'd never seen a case of cancer in a person without parasites. Now, there are people that don't have parasites. Now, my old granny, back in the olden days, now, I don't hear of anybody doing this anymore, but my old granny used to have this worming medicine. Didn't taste too bad. It wasn't good, but it didn't taste too bad. And I don't know about 2 or 3 times or 4 times a year. I don't know how often it was, you know, just being a little kid, you know, you don't keep track of time exactly. But every so often, every few months, my grandmother would worm me. And hell, it wasn't just me. It was Mrs. Mitchell was doing it to the Mitchell kids. It was common, you know, for little children, you know, in the first and second grade, to be talking, you know, on the school grounds about their being wormed. I'm going through the worming. We're all being wormed. That's what Ronnie Mitchell would say. You know, we're all being wormed in our family. Well, yeah, that's right. Mrs. Mitchell was worming the whole family. So she'd concentrate on diets and food, and she'd concentrate on the worming medicine. And everybody is getting dosed with this worming medicine, including old man Mitchell and Mrs. Mitchell and all the Mitchell kids and little Georgie Gordon, you know, and little Butchie and all the kids. So it was a very common practice when I was a kid in the 30s and 40s. Today it's unheard of. I have never heard anybody talk about worming their children. Now, we do it here, and we use walnut hulls. And that walnut tincture, it's kind of gross stuff. I gotta concede, but that doesn't mean that it's impossible. He says he could go on and tell 1,000 clinical colon parasite war stories from spaghetti and fettuccine heaps to cobras and rattlesnakes to the things that look like scorpions and crabs. Maybe I'll just do a parasite issue one day, but for now, let's move on. Now, when you die, the worms, the parasite worms, actually crawl out of your body. They'll start crawling through your body orifices when you're in the undertaking parlor. And that's because, you know, the worms, you know, they can see your body's dead. They've killed you, so now what they got to do is get out and find a new host. Now, I don't know how many worms there are, how many different kinds of parasites. Now, I did a series of programs on worms or parasites. I forget now if it'd be under W for worms or P for parasite. You talk about a gross story. Now, those parasites, intestinal parasites, that'll gross you out. And well-documented story. A lot of articles, you can get them right off the internet. Parasites. And you take a look at what's going on inside your body over there, and then you ask yourself, well, then, why is it that people are sick? Why are people suffering from all of these debilitating diseases? It's because we're full of parasites. We are full of intestinal toxic sludge. We got that proverbial potato up the tailpipe, and we're unable to eliminate. And it comes out in the form of 450 symptoms in the Merck desk reference. And your doctor over there is not telling you that. That's the tragedy of it. Does he know it? I find it hard to believe that he doesn't. Really hard to believe that your doctor does not know about the results of constipation. But hey, listen, it's an embarrassing thing to talk about. As I mentioned earlier in this program, you know, it isn't the kind of thing you talk with the boys about, you know, like Metamucil, you know, or fiber they talk about on the 6 o'clock news. And that Metamucil's probably good for you, and that fiber's probably good for you, but it's probably a day late and a dollar short, as my old dad used to say. Tain't enough. Tain't enough at the right time and in the right place. All right, now remember, Dr. Schultz, phone number 1-877-TEACH-ME, 1-877-832-2463. That's 1-877-832-2463. Hey, I'm out of time again. I gotta leave it right there and remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.